Christian Singles, welcome back to another podcast of Single Plus. I'm your host, Daria White Osa. If you have not subscribed, go ahead and do so. Make sure you follow and share on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can also follow on Instagram at MySinglePlus. If you are also looking for Christian community, I am one of the leaders for the Christian Singles Hub. You can go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com, get all the info, plus join our Facebook group as well as our Hub platform. So thank you all so much. Let's get into today's episode. Hello, Christian Singles. Welcome back to another podcast episode of Single Plus. I'm your host, Daria White Osa, and today I'm going to be sharing with you some verses that I have been personally reading in my own quiet time. My husband shared them with me, and they really hit the nail on the head, and it came to me that this could possibly go hand in hand for those of you that just feel extremely discouraged when it comes to singleness. And I've had enough conversations with Christian singles, men and women. And I even remember having the conversations when I was still myself a single woman. And I want to just assure you that just because you get married doesn't mean that there's not going to be at least one area of your life where you feel like nothing is working. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you pray, it just feels and seems like nothing is working. And I know that there are a lot of Christian singles out there, men and women, that feel like, again, they're just stuck. They haven't dated in a while. They thought they'd be married by now. And it's just so discouraging. It feels like there's no hope. It feels like you're going to be alone forever. You've bought into the lie that maybe it's too late because you've gotten older. Maybe you're past a certain age that, according to society, especially in the U.S., and depending on where you live, but typically what we hear in the U.S., most of the time, it's looked down upon, especially with women, if you're not married yet, because the expectation is we're supposed to get married, have kids, right? So there's this pressure to abide by that. Sometimes that comes from family expectations too, and your family members are asking questions. Are you dating anybody? Are you seeing anybody? You know, when is it going to happen for you? Maybe you need to lower your standards. Maybe you need to do this, or maybe you just need to get used to being alone. Whatever the case may be for you, I know it can be disheartening for a lot. And I even remember prior to me, my husband, just hearing from, I'm going to say most of the time it was from well-meaning people. Some just didn't know what to say. But I was asked those questions of, when you're getting married, you're not getting any younger, seeing anybody, dating anybody, when is it going to happen for you? And again, some people were well-meaning and some just didn't know what to say. But there's this, again, this pressure all around us. And you're like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, I'm putting myself out there. I'm meeting new people, but nothing has happened yet. But I wanted to share these verses with you that come from Habakkuk. And particularly when we hear Habakkuk, we think of the verse that says, write the vision, make it plain, right? But there are verses in chapter 3 that I really think resonate. And I'm going to read it from the New King James Version, as well as the Amplified Version, because I want you to hear both. So I'm going to be reading from Habakkuk chapter 3, starting at verse 17 through the first part of 19. So roughly 19a. So Habakkuk chapter 3, if you want to follow along, this is in the New King James Version, verses 17 through 19a. And I like personally the subtitle of this in my New King James Bible, even though it's still divided into chapters, some of these are divided by sections. And so this one is titled A Hymn of Faith. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Let me flip the page here. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And I definitely have heard that verse quoted from my father plenty of times, whether in a sermon or in a prayer. I would hear that often from my father, verse 19 of Habakkuk 3. He makes my feet, some translation says hind's feet, but it's the same thing as a deer, and sets me up on high places or the high hills. But I also want to go to the Amplified Version, reading the same verses, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19a. And this is going to break down more of the verse. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will choose to, listen to that, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure. I'm going to read that again. He has made my feet steady and sure, like hinds' feet, and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. So whichever translation you prefer, I just want to go through that again just to show you that it may look like nothing is happening. As you can see in these verses, though the fig tree does not blossom. So the tree is there, but it's not bearing fruit. There's no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olive fails, the harvest has come, but the harvest is a complete flop, and the fields produce no food. Though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stall, so pretty much everything is empty. What do you have to show for all your hard work? But here is the caveat here. I will choose to. So again, that just goes to show that joy is not dependent on our circumstances. If we are only wanting to be happy, and again, there's nothing wrong with being happy. We do have our moments where things may be going well for us. The season may be nice, but that is not the reality of life. So there are going to be times where you are going through some hard stuff, but you still have a choice. God reminds me of that all the time when I'm going through something, or a loved one is going through something, or it's a trial or a storm, or it feels like a wilderness season. He reminds me, Dara, you still have a choice. And here Habakkuk says, I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. And it's sad, especially when I hear, particularly in Western culture, Western Christianity, that we treat the Bible, some treat the Bible as a cliche. It's like we know to read the Bible, we know to pray, we know to see God, but that's just treated as an afterthought when it should be our first response. Your first response should be prayer. And that doesn't mean that we're to over-spiritualize everything, because some things are black and white in a sense. God has given us a brain. He's given us common sense, right? But there are going to be times where we don't know what to do. There are going to be times where our knowledge is not the best choice. And we have to seek God for clarity. We have to seek God for discernment and to know that He is our invincible army. As long as He is on our side, we are more than conquerors. As long as He's on our side, there's nothing to be afraid of. You do not have to fear being alone for the rest of your life if you are still single right now. And some may say, well, how do you know that? If this is a true desire of your heart, which I know for a lot of singles, it really is. You're not just desiring to get married out of loneliness. You're not desiring to get married because you want to stunt on people and you want to just parade it all over social media that you're no longer single anymore. Like, there are people out here with true, genuine desires to be married. Why do you think that God would not answer that? I don't know when He'll answer it. I don't know how He'll answer it. But if there is a true, deep, genuine desire, you hold on to that. There's an episode that I talked about, believe for it. Why can't you keep believing for it? And I know that that is definitely challenging. Long faith. I remember listening to a sermon that talked about having long faith, where you're believing God for sometimes for months at a time, years at a time. It makes me think of Abraham and Sarah, that long awaited promise to have a son after years of infertility. I can only imagine how it is for women nowadays, where we do have access to medical care and the technology that has helped women to be able to conceive. But back then, if you could not have kids, a woman felt shamed. She felt worthless. She felt useless. So to go for years, Sarah, I talked about this too in a previous episode, as well as a couple of blog posts. Imagine how Sarah felt. You know, she's hearing the promise through Abraham. He's telling her what God told him, but she's like, it hasn't happened yet, Abraham. Like, let's put ourselves in her shoes for a second. Like, sometimes we just read the Bible and we forget that these were real people with real feelings, real emotions. Put yourself in Sarah's shoes. Like, Abraham, it's not working. Okay. We've tried. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of seeing our family members playing with their children. And here we are, advanced in our years. I'm past the stage of being able to give birth. I know what you told me, that God said this, but it hasn't happened yet. And I'm tired of waiting. And it's okay for you to express that. It's okay for you to be honest. It's okay for you to lay that at the feet of Jesus. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I would caution you not to go so far in your questions that you begin to question the character and the nature of God. Because like I said, if it is a true, genuine desire, God sees that. God sees that. He's not dangling a carrot in front of your face only to take it from you at the last minute. We don't serve a God like that. We do not serve a God like that. He has no ill intentions. He has no ill will towards you. He's not doing things on purpose just because he has nothing better to do. Every single part of your life, he has a plan for. And for some, marriage comes earlier in life. For others, some, it comes later in life. I don't know. It's not like you can, you know, punch in a few numbers and boom, you're able to determine, okay, this is the end of my singleness. You know, it has an end date. I don't know why God's timing happens for some earlier, like I said, earlier in life, while for others it may seem like it's happening later, but he is still good. He is still good. He is still loving. He is still kind. He is still full of mercy. He is still faithful. So we can be confident in that. And to continue in 19, he has made my feet steady and sure. You don't have to worry about being unstable. You don't have to worry about losing your footing and falling. He's not going to let you fall. He is not going to fail you. And makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence. You can walk in confidence. You are not alone. You are never truly alone. And the real definition of singleness is really, I love how the late Dr. Miles Monroe put it. He broke it down to where singleness technically means you're unique, you're whole, and you're complete in who God has made you to be. If you get married, you're just joining forces with another. You're joining forces with another person who knows who they are in Christ, and together you're a dynamic duo. It wasn't meant to be, okay, I'm getting married to feel whole. I'm getting married to be fulfilled. I'm getting married to feel complete. No, the whole purpose of marriage is for you two to be a dynamic duo in the kingdom. It's deeper than your romance, and yes, romance is great. Nothing wrong with romance, nothing wrong with dates, nothing wrong with having fun together and laughing together. But there is a kingdom purpose for marriage. And if your motives, as I said in the previous episode, if your motives are not right, God may be using this time to purify your heart. He may be using this time to purify your motives. But we can trust that he has good things for us. My husband and I were watching a documentary, and this person, unfortunately, has walked away from the faith. And one thing that he said was he just could not believe in a God punishing people by sending them to hell if he's supposed to be all loving. And to hear that, you know, it may make sense logically, but you really got to break it down. God did not create hell for us. Hell was made for the devil and the one third of the angels that chose to follow him when he tried to make himself higher than God, which was not going to happen. So I know some people, in his case, he had, and in this guy's case, he already had questions. And ultimately, he just made the decision of, you know, this is not for me. And a lot of people, a lot of believers have walked away from the faith because of their doubts, or in some cases, there's just been so much disappointment. And I know a lot of Christian singles, to tie this all in together, a lot of Christian singles just feel disappointed with God. God, why didn't I get married before 25? God, why am I always going to other people's weddings and I'm still at the singles table by myself? God, why is it that I go home every year for the holidays with no one? Why is it, Lord, that, again, I see another post of an engagement announcement or a relationship announcement or a wedding announcement, And here I am in the same boat as I was this time 5 years ago. I'm saying all of that specifically is because I can identify with that. Because again, I have been single longer than I have been married. And I remember going through year one, year two, year three, year four, year five, year six, year seven, year eight, year nine, year 10, year 11, and 12 up until meeting my husband. Those 12 years didn't just go by, you know, smooth sailing, no doubts, no fears. There was a lot of testing in those 12 years. And I believe that God used those 12 years to purify my motives. I did not have the right motives when it came to marriage. My mind had the wrong perceptions of marriage. And I had to go back to the Bible to get a biblical truth. I had to get rooted back in what God says about marriage. And once I did that, then God began to lead me into the next steps. And before I knew it, he was leading me to get in more an online community. And that's where I met my husband. So I just want you to know that even though it may feel desolate right now, you can still rejoice in the God of your salvation. Because no, you may not be in a relationship right now. No, you may not be married right now. But there's still something to rejoice about. Why? Because we serve an everlasting God who saw us in our lowest state. And he chose to send his son, Jesus. He did not want to be without us. He did not approve of what happened back in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. So he had a plan all along to send us a savior, to send us a redeemer, to send us someone who would stand in the gap for us and intercede on our behalf. And Jesus was born into this earth and led a sinless life, totally blameless. Jesus did not deserve to die the way that he did, where he was tortured. He was betrayed by a close friend. The disciples fell away. When he was arrested, he said, "You all will fall away." Even though Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll be with you. I'll die with you if I have to." Jesus, like, "Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. So don't even, I appreciate it, but let's just be honest here. You're going to fall away. You're not ready yet to stand up for me." So Jesus being arrested, being led from judgment hall to judgment hall, they're trying to find him guilty of the crime. They take him to Pilate. Pilate has him scourged, thinking, well, maybe if I scourge him, that'll teach him a lesson. Maybe that'll be good enough for the Jews. But no, they didn't want that. During that time, they were like, "Crucify him. We don't want you to just punish him. We want you to kill him. He's causing too much of a problem for us. He thinks he's God. He thinks he's our king." And when you think of how Jesus died, because when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus had never been separated from his father before. I never understood what that verse meant until God gave me revelation on it a few years back. Jesus had never been separated from his father before. So that was the first time that Jesus was alone. We think that we're alone, but we're not. Jesus died alone. Yes, he was surrounded by those that were at the cross. Yes, he was in between two thieves, but his own father had to reject him because Jesus bore the sins of those in the past, of those in the present, those of us that are here now, and those who will sin in the future. He bore all of that in his body, and God could not tolerate it. So Jesus died alone. His blood was shed. When they pierced him in the side after he gave his last breath, blood and water came out. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And I've heard pastors preach on how the reason water came out, that was to represent, again, just the baptism. How we go down in the water, how that's the outward sign, how that could be a representation of that. So I just want you to know that even if it feels like nothing is happening for you, the best thing has already happened to you because Jesus gave his life for you. And I pray more than you want a husband, if you're a woman listening, more than you want a wife, if you're a man listening, regardless of where you are in wanting a relationship, I pray that you do not forego the most important relationship of all. I pray that you have made the decision to follow Jesus with your whole heart. And if you have not, you can do it today. You can cry out to him and say, "Jesus, I need you. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong. I can't do this by myself. I need your peace. I need your love. Father, I need you to show me how to live this life out. I don't want to just do it out of religion. I don't want to do it out of ritual. I want to follow you, God, because of what you did for me. If anything, we owe him. The only thing that God owes us is hell and damnation. That's the only thing he owes us. For those Christian singles who feel like they're entitled to a spouse because they've been living a certain way, we're not owed anything but hell and damnation. But God in his mercy, God in his grace chooses to extend that to us every single day. So I urge you, despite the desire for a relationship, and again, like I said, believe for it, believe for that kingdom marriage, believe for that godly spouse. There's nothing wrong with it, but don't let it take the place of the most important relationship you can ever make and have in your life. I pray more than anything that if you have not made Jesus your number one, you make him number one right now. Make him number one. Because I guarantee you, when you put him first, the Bible says, Matthew 6:33, that if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. When we seek God with all of our hearts, when we seek him with sincerity, when we seek him from a genuine place, he will add all these other things. The problem is we want the things without seeking him, because seeking him requires digging. And digging. Seeking him requires perseverance. Seeking him requires endurance. Seeking him requires doing it when we don't feel like it. And trust, there are days that I have gotten into my quiet time and I did not feel it. I didn't feel like reading. I didn't feel like praying. But I stayed there because I'm like, God, I need you. I need more of your word. I need your spirit. I need you to guide me. I need your discernment. God, I need all of you. Teach me your ways and draw me closer to your heart. That has become my prayer, my number one prayer these last few months. God, teach me your ways and draw me closer to your heart. So I pray that you would go through these verses in Habakkuk. And you can see everything that is listed that appears not to be working. But Habakkuk still makes a choice that I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me on high places. He keeps me steady and sure. I can be confident in who he is. I can be confident in his character. I can be confident in knowing that he is for me and not against me. God is for you. Trust him. You may be like, well, I don't know if I can. Take those questions to him. I encourage you, if you're facing doubts, to go to a trusted friend who's going to give you biblical wisdom and who's going to bring you back and encourage you and lift you up in the faith. It's okay, but don't let this drive you from God. Let this draw you closer to him. Let it draw you closer to him. So, Father, I thank you for those that are listening right now. And first and foremost, Lord, I pray for those maybe listening that maybe they've backslid. Maybe, God, someone's listening as a single that's not saved. I pray that they confess you today, that they would not wait till tomorrow, that they would not wait till a better time, that they would make the decision and choose to follow Jesus today with their whole hearts, with all of their minds, with all of their souls, with all of their strength, and that they would surrender their lives to you. So, Father, I pray the prayer, Father, that they say doesn't have to be fancy, doesn't have to have a lot of big words. They just have to mean it from their hearts. And then from there, God, I pray that you would guide them to be planted into a local church where they can get discipled and they can grow and they can mature and they can get into community, God, and that they can, again, just build up their faith and become strong and that they can become strong followers of you, Jesus. But Lord, I also pray for those that are believing you, that are following you, but God, they're discouraged, they're downcast, they're weary. Father, I pray that they would make the decision like Habakkuk did, where they will choose, Father. They will choose. They can make a choice today and say that they will rejoice in you, O God, that they will put their joy in you, who is the God of their salvation, Lord, because you are our strength, Father. You make our feet like hinds' feet. You set us on high places. Father, you guide us in wildernesses. Father, you know how to provide water in a dry place. Father, you know how to provide food in a barren land. So, Father, I pray that you would refresh souls right now. I pray, Father, you would build up spirits right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would encourage them from the inside out, that they would realize that you are for them and not against them. And Father, I pray for those who have allowed circumstances to cause them to doubt your character, that have caused them to doubt who you are. Some, Father, may be contemplating whether or not they want to keep following you. But Father, I pray that the enemy would not have them, that they would not, Father, fall into the trap, that they would seek you that much harder, if they would press into your presence that much harder, if they would run after the cross, Father, that much harder. It's easy, Lord, to let circumstances pull us away from you. It's easy, Father, to let anger and resentment and bitterness because of disappointments, Father, to pull us away from you. But Lord, I pray that this in turn will draw us closer to you, Lord God, that we would come to your word says you are close to the brokenhearted. You bind up our wounds. Father, I pray that we would come to you for healing. We would come to you for clarity. We would come to you, Father, for everything that we need. We're not alone, God. That is a lie from the pit of hell. We are not alone, God. You are with us. You've been with us since the beginning of time, Father. Your spirit is on the inside of us. That means all of you, all of your glory, all of your power, all of your splendor is on the inside of us by Holy Spirit. So, Father, everything that we need is already on the inside of us. So, God, I pray for a revival among your people. That your sons and daughters, yes, they may desire marriage, but Father, I pray that they would desire Jesus more. Yes, they desire a godly spouse, but Father, I pray that they desire Jesus more and that they would pursue the things of God. They would pursue your presence, God. They would dig even deeper into your word, not treating it as an afterthought, not treating it as a cliche, but that they would treat it as their very lifeline, their source of life, Lord God. Father, I pray for a renewed hunger in the body of Christ in the U.S. and all over this world, Lord God, especially in these last days. We need to know your word. We need to know why we believe what we believe. We can't ride on the coattails of others. We can't depend fully on the church. Yes, church is there to help us grow, but church was not meant to replace our personal relationship with you, Jesus. So, Father, I pray, Father, that everyone listening to this podcast will receive a spiritual encounter like never before, whether they, again, haven't been following you ever and they just made the decision to follow you, or maybe they have been following you or they've gotten discouraged, or let's say, God, they have been following you strong and this is just another boost, Lord God. This is another reminder for them to keep going, to not give up, to continue to pursue you and your kingdom. So, God, I thank you that you are bringing your sons back. You are bringing your daughters back, that not one would be lost, Lord God. You go after the one. You go after the one to lead. Even though the 99 are there, you go after the one that is strayed. So, Father, I pray that we will remember. That we will remember the lengths that you went through to win us back. And that, yes, Father, the spouse, the love of a spouse is beautiful, but it's still a drop in the bucket compared to the love that you have for us. The love of a spouse, Father, is a drop in a bucket compared to the sea of Calvary. So I thank you, God. Bring peace to your people. Renew their minds, Father. Restore their spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all so much for listening. Subscribe if you have not already. You can also follow on Instagram at MySinglePlus. If you're looking for Christian community, you can always join the Christian Singles Hub. We're on Facebook. You can also go to the ChristianSinglesHub.com to get more information about our online as well as our in-person events. So thank you all so much for listening. Stay safe. God bless. Bye.